Morning. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming out today. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus healing a man that no one else wanted to deal with. We're going to talk a little bit about touch. There's a conflict that exists between African and Asian cultures. This is over in the East, not here in America. Asian culture is one of shame and honor, and the African culture is one of personal relationships. The conflict that exists between the two groups is a result of misunderstanding of these cultural differences. If, say, an African buys something from an Asian clerk, the clerk will put the change on the counter and slide it over because they view money as a very dirty thing. And they do not want to disrespect somebody by saying, "I'm putting something dirty into your hand." The African interprets this as the Asian saying they are dirty because they don't want to make physical contact with them. So this act that was intended to show respect ended up being an act of disrespect for both groups. Physical contact is an important part of our lives. And feeling isolated and dirty because people won't touch you is a very painful thing to deal with. You think about it with prisoners, one way that people, that they are punished for bad behavior is they put them in solitary confinement and deprive them of any human contact. You can't see, you can't talk to anyone, you can't interact with anyone, you definitely can't touch anyone. So we see that there's a need of community and among us as human beings, a need to talk to people, to interact with people, to be able to touch people as well. We enter our scene here in Luke 5, verse 12. This is after Peter, Andrew, James, and John were called from their fishing business to be full-time disciples by Jesus. And Jesus continues traveling from town to town around the Sea of Galilee, preaching the gospel, and he comes in contact with a man who's suffering from a terrible disease. And what Jesus does is really incredible. Verse 12, while he was in one of the towns, a man came who was covered with leprosy. Some translations say full of leprosy. Luke's point here is to see that this is an advanced stage of leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that spreads and slowly takes over the whole body. So to be full of leprosy means it's very advanced and in the stages, really. Leprosy is a nasty thing and was quite common during Jesus' day. Leprosy was a painful and debilitating disease. It's debilitating because it stops your old way of life dead in its tracks. I could describe leprosy physical, but it's a pretty disgusting thing to hear about what happens with leprosy. But it is so painful a thing that people even tried to avoid bathing because it hurt so much. Leprosy is not a fatal thing. In other words, it doesn't kill you fast. It kills you slowly. You could survive for 20 years or so as a leper, and that may, in fact, be the worst part of it. Leprosy wasn't just painful. This disease ruined your life. It carried a strong social stigma. Many people at this time believed that if you had leprosy, it was because God was cursing you because of some sinful thing that you had done, for being a wicked person. So at the time they needed compassion the most, what they got was judgment and condemnation of God's punishing you. Lepers were quarantined from the rest of society out of fear that their disease would spread, and rightly so. It is very possible that their disease could spread. Any contact with a leper, physical touch to them sneezing on you, could spread the disease. So when someone had leprosy, you didn't want to be near them, even if they were family. And can you just imagine that? You have the misfortune of catching this painful disease, but because of this particular disease, you now have to deal with it completely and utterly alone. No family, people you love can't even comfort you. No friends, no contact with anyone at all. Leprosy is the disease of isolation that damages every part of a person. Not just their body. They're banished from normal society, their normal way of life. They couldn't eat meals with people. They couldn't just travel down the city streets like normal. They couldn't go shopping because they had to interact with people. They couldn't engage in any way with other people. Makes you wonder how they got anything done in their life that they needed. Lepers could not work, so they had to beg for a living. and beg for people's generosity to give them what they needed. They had to keep their beds low to the ground so that if a strong wind came about, it wouldn't carry their disease to someone else. They couldn't even go to the temple to worship God. They were not able to go where other people were. Can you imagine coming home one day and seeing your spouse or your child with a rash, red rash, and now you know and you realize that here they're going to be taken away from you, and you're never going to see or be able to hold them again. There's a specific look of the leper. Leprosy is defined as the living dead. Leviticus instructs lepers to wear ragged clothes, to leave their hair unkempt, and with the sores and decay of the body, they do look a whole lot like zombies, really. They cannot have contact with anyone. They just have to beg for what they need and wait to die. The worst part, it becomes who you are. Leprosy destroys your identity. If you were under this disease, anyone that had to go around crying, "Unclean, unclean." And that became who they were. You no longer had a name, not a person. You're not valuable anymore. You were unclean, and your name might as well be unclean. That was the extent of your contact with humans for the rest of your life. If you got leprosy, your life was over. There was no hope for a cure, no chance the condition would just go away. Then we get to Jesus' actions. Matthew 8, verse 2, "When this man with leprosy saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground," sort of the spread eagle style, "and begged him, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Have you ever got a cut or had a bad sunburn on your knee or had any time where your knee hurt any time you moved it? Every time you move, it hurts. And this man had sores all over his body. Probably getting down on his knees was an extremely painful thing, so he just throws himself on the ground in front of Jesus. This guy doesn't say to Jesus, "If you heal me, I will believe in you." He doesn't say, "If you heal me, I will follow you." He's not trading with Jesus. He is worshiping Jesus, bowing down before him. What is truly amazing is that this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. There's no precedent for this. No, this man doesn't have any knowledge of all he healed other people before. He just suspects that Jesus is able to help him. And he does help him. He doesn't ask if Jesus is able. He just asks if Jesus is willing. This man is not offering faith for a miracle. He's not trying to make an exchange with God. He's not trying to bargain. He is point blank saying, "Will you do this for me? I have nothing to pay you back with." This man's not offering faith for a miracle. He has faith. He's asking God, "Please give me the miracle," right? And Jesus has this show of respect for who he is that happens here. The action and words this man does carry this kind of meaning with it. "Jesus, I know that you are Lord, and I worship you. And I know that you have the power to heal me. I know you don't have to, but I want to ask that you would help me." The leper is worshiping God, or worshiping Jesus and acknowledging who Jesus is, even if Jesus doesn't heal him, right? Why do we do that? Oh, go ahead, next one. Why don't we do that? Why do we often try to barter with God, ourselves, and our lives today? "God, if you'll give me this, then I will believe in you and never doubt you again. God, if you will help me with this thing, I will go to church every week." We try to barter with God, and we oftentimes do this. We oftentimes find ourselves saying, "God, if you'll just do this for me, I'll do whatever you want me to do." We know that God wants our faith, so we try to negotiate with it because it's a bargaining chip of something God wants, right? This lie is that we have to earn God's grace. We do it to get into heaven. If I just do enough good deeds, I can off-balance my sin and earn my way to heaven. We oftentimes do that, but that's not how God wants us to act. "God, if you'll just give me this promotion, I'll do whatever you say," right? Let me ask you this. What would happen if God accepted our bartering pleas? That if you made a good enough argument of why you deserve to have this and God would give it to you, what would be the fallout of that? Have we ever stopped to think about that? What if God did give in to that? People could go around, go back in time and fix their mistakes. Change the world as a whole, really, there. Your coworker, who no one likes, could be a millionaire doing the same job that you do because had an argument that could made sense to God, right? How sad of a world would that be? How limited and unjust of a God would we be serving if he gave in to what people argued of, if they bartered well enough that God would give it to them? I want to say thank God that he doesn't do that. He doesn't bend his will to that in that way. But the man with leprosy is not like that either. He doesn't barter. He's not that kind of guy. He just says, God, please heal me. Of course, what this guy is doing is actually illegal at this time. Lepers were required to stay at least 6 feet from people at all times. If the wind was strong, they were required to stay even further away. When he realized that the only hope of him ever being healed was traveling around not too far from where he lived, this leper goes to Jesus and Jesus heals him. He's desperate. He doesn't just ask Jesus, he begs Jesus to heal him. Coming in contact with a leper would make anyone unclean. Rabbis of the day, religious giants back in Old Testament times and back in Jesus' times, carried rocks in their pockets while they were traveling for the case of a leper who wouldn't keep their distance. They could throw rocks at them to make sure they kept their distance away. Point here, religious people sometimes can be worse than others. We sometimes can be so worried about keeping ourselves clean that we don't realize the people that we're hurting in the process. This was normal back in this time. Talk about the social injustice that was going on of taking care of individual people. These were the social outcasts, similar to the people today that no one worries about hurting or abusing in our world today, were the lepers. That makes Jesus' next actions all that more of a wonderful thing. By the way, it was against the law for Jesus to touch the leper. It would make him unclean too. But Jesus is the only one that when he touches sin, he makes it clean by becoming sin for us, right? Then we get to verse 13. Jesus touches him. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus, moved with compassion, reaches out and touches the man. Let me ask you this. How long do you think it had been before this man had been touched recently? Years? Decades, possibly? Because everything he touched became unclean simply because he touched it. That's quite a scarring way of looking at life, of how bad off your life is. We wash our hands after we use the bathroom because we know when you're dirty, anything you touch becomes dirty, right? We know this. Women especially seem to know this, but we men are enlightened, right, about this. Why does Jesus touch this man? He didn't have to. He healed a centurion's servant from miles away. Why does Jesus make physical contact with the sick man? This man doesn't just need to be healed. He needs to be reminded of he is loved too. He is a human worth being loved. He needs to be reminded that he is a human being at all. And that is what's so great about Jesus. When we ask him for stuff, he doesn't just give us what we ask for. He goes beyond the measure. He gives us what we need. He touches the untouchable. No matter how dirty the world says you are never too dirty for Jesus to heal you. Right? While society may reject, while people may hurt you, Jesus says, come to me and I don't reject you. Joseph Damien was a missionary in the 19th century who served to minister to people with leprosy in the Hawaiian Islands. Those suffering grew to love him and revere the sacrificial life that he was giving for them, living out before them, to be able to serve them as God would have him do. One morning, before Joseph was leading them in their daily worship, he was pouring some hot water into a cup, and it was swirling about, and it fell on his foot. And it took him a moment to realize that he had felt no sensation of a burn or anything, or any recognition that water had fallen on his foot. Gripped with a sudden fear of what this could mean, he poured more hot water on the same spot and felt no feeling whatsoever. Damien immediately knew what had happened to him, and he walked tearfully to deliver his sermon. No one at first noticed the difference of his opening line. He normally began with, "My fellow believers." But on this morning he said, "My fellow lepers." Damien, like Jesus in our scripture today, knew that ministering with compassion meant it would be necessary to touch others in their unclean condition. Sinful, sick, whatever it may be willing to touch people. Jesus' ministry is all about touching. The hurting, the lost, the broken, the unclean people, touching their lives. And as a church, we're an extension of Jesus' ministry. He doesn't want us to stop. He didn't want it to stop, and that's why he put his disciples in place after him, saying, "Carry on my ministry." And as his followers, we get to reach out as well. We get to touch the poor, help the hungry, feed the needy, help the sick and the lost, and the hurting people of the world with the love of Jesus. Nothing's more powerful than seeing someone who loves at any cost, cares enough to reach out and touch someone with the love of God. And that's what we're called to do. That's the challenge for us, is we are to be God's family. So let me ask you this question. Have you touched anyone in your spiritual family this week with love, with helping them or anything like that? Have you helped them with anything going on in their life? Have you reached out to anyone this week and asked them to become a part of God's family? Another awesome part of this is the instantness that happens here. The leper begs Jesus to heal him, and Jesus said, "I am willing," and he healed the man instantly. Jesus doesn't just heal the man, he restores him. He gives him back the condition of life that was stolen from him. Leprosy was always viewed as divine punishment. But what God shows us in this text today is that God's mercy replaces God's judgment. God wants to forgive our sins. We need to make that decision, right? But we often have this lie that we tell ourselves that I must be perfect before I can go back to God. I have to present myself as a perfect being before I can even go to God. Wrong. We can't make ourselves perfect. We're never going to be perfect people. Only God can save us, and he says, "Come to me and I'll help you with your sin." It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect before you ever approach me. Another lie we tell ourselves is that I must act perfect. I must be perfect, right? And we think everyone around us has such great lives. Everyone around us has just got their whole act together versus me, who is horrible of being able to take care of what I need, right? In all likelihood, they've had problems just this very morning. Problems that they've had to deal with that made their life harder. And most of us have only been up since 8 o'clock this morning, and we've already had those problems. Some of us maybe a bit later in getting up. God wants to help us, not hurt us, though. And we see that here with this leper. He wants to help us. He wants to set us back on the right path. So, couple of challenges for today. We can be like the leper, right? We are unclean in our sin. Jesus makes us clean. Sometimes we hold on to that sin even after Jesus has forgiven us and say, we're guilty people, we're sinful people. God can't forgive me. And we got to come to that point where we stop holding on to our disease, our past actions against ourselves, because Jesus did take it away. Stop saying, I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, I'm a bad person. Jesus says, you are clean. So the idea is get over yourself and act that way. Allow yourself to be led by God to be clean, right? If you have gotten dirty again, come back to Jesus, right? Fall before him like this leper does. He touches you and he will make you clean again, right? Jesus never asks us to be perfect. He asks us to come to him. Another thought, if you're not dealing with that today, you can go as the leper does. Luke 5, 14 and 15, he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded for proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. If you don't need to come to Jesus like the leper today, the challenge is go tell everyone what Jesus has done for you. Jesus has touched you. He has given you something that no one else could. It's time to tell someone else, right? Jesus heals. Tell people that. And he sends us out to be his agents in the world. You know what the greatest part of this healing was, though? Go with me on this. It wasn't the disease. It was the love that God showed. It was the love that God showed that caused God to be willing to heal this man at all. So the love caused this healing to go on. God gave what he is able to, and he asks us to give people what we're able to help them. And Jesus sends us to love as he loved, as he has loved us, to use what we have to further his kingdom, to teach who he is, to immerse people in Jesus, to baptize them into the waters of baptism. And we have God with us in our very being. He's given us his Holy Spirit to help us. So, if you have any need that the church can help you with, I ask that you come and tell me up front during this next song as we stand and as we sing.